He went to him and besought him to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the winter, at the beginning of this year, a young man came to spend some time with us. He was a convert to the Catholic faith, and a student at the University Helsinki in Finland. We had a number of interesting discussions when he visited here, and eventually he decided to enter the seminary in Florida. So he entered there this past month, September, with this year's class of seminarians. It was very interesting to speak with him about Finland. I didn't know very much about Finland and knew nothing at all about the history of the Catholic Church in Finland. Well, he told me there really wasn't much to it. The Finns were the last to be converted in Europe to Christianity about the end of the 1200s. And the faith took root there, unfortunately not for very long. Soon the Protestant revolt came along and uprooted the Catholic faith in Finland. And so for many centuries, there were virtually no Catholics at all in Finland. I thought of his tale of the history of the faith in Finland when I came across a story that I decided to use for today's sermon. There was an atheist who lived in Finland, and he was a farmer. He had no use at all for the Christian religion, and he died in his godlessness. He took it, as it were, with him to the grave. And indeed, his godlessness reached beyond the grave, because in his will, he bequeathed his farm to the devil. To the devil. And he directed that the acres he owned be left untouched by human hands. His heirs challenged the will, but eventually, believe it or not, the court upheld it. So his land was left untilled, and it became a wilderness in a few years. For some reason, the story struck me because we have the expression of letting something go to the devil. And that is exactly what happened in this case in the natural order. That the man left his farm to the devil, and soon the good that he had done with the land disappeared, completely disappeared, and all traces of it were lost. This is the picture of the effect in the Christian soul of the vice of sloth. The picture of the effects of sloth in the Christian life. The slothful man is spiritually and physically lazy, so whatever good he does in the temporal order or in the spiritual order goes to the devil, simply because he ends up doing nothing. Now, sloth is one of the capital sins, we know. In Latin, it's referred to as acedia, acedia. And the definition of it is a distress of soul at the thought of what one must do to secure the friendship of God. Distress of soul. It takes so much effort, we think. Generally speaking, sloth is excessive love of ease and idleness, either of body or soul. Either one will get us into trouble. Now, I went through a book and wrote out, picked out a few of the effects of sloth that different spiritual writers talk about. And indeed, the list could go on and on and on. But here are the highlights, or actually the lowlights, of the vice of sloth. First of all, how it shows itself. Avoidance of manual labor or physical effort of any kind. Another, constantly seeking bodily ease and comfort. A dislike of concentration of mind for mental effort, or a dislike of concentration of the soul for spiritual effort. And people unfortunately have an inclination to give in to that, because the spiritual life takes effort and takes discipline of mind and takes regularity, as it were. It does take effort, and people feel that, well, I'm not getting immediately anything out of prayer, out of this concentration, so I'm going to give up. Right? Sloth. Procrastination, putting things off. A lack of perseverance, another one. Habitual tardiness, especially in performing religious duties. For instance, in coming to Mass. I'm too lazy consistently to get up a few minutes early to make even an ordinary effort. Some people are inclined to that, that certainly they show up for time and work. They make the effort for that, or they would make the time to get up earlier if they're going to go to some sports or some entertainment event, but not for some sort of a spiritual practice, not for a spiritual duty of going to Mass. Excusing yourself all the time when you neglect your duties. Wasting effort on useless activities. Wasting effort on useless activities. The spiritual writers give many examples of that. You know, one that you would not find in, let's say, the writings of someone like St. Francis of Sales or St. Therese, would be symbolized by this particular gesture. Channel surfing. Neglect of duties of your state of life. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's extremely important. Or through what we could call boredom. Boredom, constant boredom, a constant need to be entertained. Constant need to be entertained. Right? I recall reading an article. In fact, it was in a secular publication, the Times Literary Supplement, where the author talked about how boredom is a modern concept. That you know, I have nothing to do, so I'm going to entertain myself. That people in past ages did not have that particular idea. They regarded it, they thought of that state, when you're in that state, as being slothful, achadia, right? Yeah. Boredom. That's a modern notion. You want to take time, you know, to find yourself. I remember preaching about that once in a sermon on the magic teenage years. And after I gave the sermon for the first time, an older man came up to me afterwards and said, this idea that you talked about kids having to find themselves, he said, when I was a teacher, I didn't need to find myself. My father came and he found me and he told me what to do. No boredom there. So, sloth, that's how it shows itself. Now, the children of sloth. Now, we're not talking about your kids. But what spiritual writers mean is the product of sloth, things that flow from it. Physical and spiritual poverty. Because you don't do what has to be done. Cowardice, with problems and difficulties. It takes so much effort to stand up to do what you're supposed to do. Indifference toward religious matters. Well, it takes effort, and I'm not going to put the effort into it. Or a certain suffocation of soul. An oppressive feeling. A neglect of essential duties. And most seriously, an increase of temptations. The idle mind, I suppose, being the devil's workshop. Okay, what are the remedies for sloth? Well, again, one could write a book on this. Here are some of them. First of all, learn the duties of your state of life, of your vocation. What do we mean by a state of life or vocation? As I never tire of emphasizing to people, there are four possible vocations that one can have. You have a vocation to the priesthood, the clerical state. You have vocation to the religious life as a sister, as a brother. You have a vocation to the single state, or you have a vocation to the married state. Most people fall into the latter category. You, in each of these, your means of sanctification, your way to heaven, is to live up to the duties of your state of life. So your vocation in life is not, carpentry, is not office work, is not accounting, is not factory work, but your vocation in life is one of the four things that we've mentioned. And whatever you do for your livelihood is supposed to serve your real state of life, your real vocation. So you all have duties. It is important for you to think about your duties, to write them down if necessary. List the important duties first, even if they are more difficult. Now, this sounds like a corny thing, but it is a very, very good rule. Why? Because when you write something down, you make it much more objective. If you have a list of what you're supposed to do, the major duties of your state of life, right? And you have that somewhere, will help you to remember them, that will help you to concentrate on them. There's sort of a force to your own handwriting, right? It's like your finger pointing back at you saying, do this, do this. So you do that for your major duties of your state of life and that you have overall. Also, you have to force yourself to think, to stop, to recall what you are doing and why. Too often we just float through our duties of the day. So you have to reflect. Thirdly, a daily or weekly list of duties that you have to perform. So you have your overall duties. You've made the resolution to force yourself to think, and then you have a shorter list of your daily or weekly duties of your state of life. This will help you, again, to get through things, your temporal duties and your spiritual duties. And especially if you have a lot, that is something that is extremely helpful. Fourthly, you have to learn to arouse the love of God in your heart. And the reason for this is that if we really love God, we have to use the time that He gives us and use our energy according to His plan for us, so that everything fits into the plan. And obviously, pray for strength of will, pray for perseverance. To conclude, sloth leaves many of soul, like that of the royal officer's son in today's gospel, at the point of death. And it's a death that's brought on by a spiritual laziness, by spiritual idleness. The poet T.S. Eliot says the lot of man is ceaseless labor or ceaseless idleness, which is even worse. Ask yourself, are you slothful? Are you slothful? We all have that inclination, the road of least resistance. And then go and ask our blessed Lord for the cure, just as he cured the officer's son. Ask our Lord to make you diligent, zealous for the things of the Spirit, for the things that please him. Don't consign your talents, your time, and your energy to the devil by doing nothing with them. Use them for your sanctification and the sanctification of others. Use them for Almighty God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.